Welcome to the Nerdtastic in 3D podcast.
It's Nerdtastic in 3D. Oh, it's Nerdtastic in 3D. Yes, it's Nerdtastic in 3D. It's Nerdtastic.
Bong.
Bongy bong.
Ding, 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 ding.
I wanted to represent the little bells.
Little ones?
Someone's got to.
Everywhere.
Teeny tiny.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Nerdtastic in 3D, episode number 25. My name is Jason Carter.
I'm Jack Geckler.
I'm Josh LeBrut.
Sorry.
Adam McFarlane.
And we are a podcast, people in a podcast, working for the entertainment industry, professionals, if you will. And we are here talking to you about pretty much anything and everything that we find interesting or nerdy.
Or both.
This is episode number 25, if I haven't already said that this evening. I can't remember.
We're covering our bases after last week.
Legally, yes. We can rent cars now.
But I did add the annotation in the YouTube video correcting.
Smart.
And we've, that's good. And we've actually taken a step backwards. We're doing nothing special. In fact, we're actually doing less. This is on only audio-only podcast. No video this evening.
I want to apologize. And to make up for that is, and Jason, this maybe is a great segue. We decided to take on the challenge last night, the four of us, to play some games that we don't normally play. And I decided to take upon myself to record some of that fun.
They were gems.
So this will be on YouTube, and we'll have some of that fun gameplay of the two games. You want to talk about them, Jay?
I'll let Josh do it because he's the one who found them.
Yeah, bravo.
Okay,
sir.
So people who've listened to this know that we were trying to find a game that, you know, would none of us have played before. Now, some of us have played games, some of us have not. You know, it's very difficult to find.
We've all played games.
If you would have let me finish, Jackhole, I would have gotten to that. But if we're trying to find a game that we would find entertaining because, you know, we have to pay for these things. And why do you want to pay for a shitty game? Like,
fact.
What is it? I'm
Assassin's
Still Alive.
Creed.
Or what was that game you tried?
I Am Alive.
There you go.
Yeah,
we didn't want to have a banana grabber mistake there.
All right. Come on. We can call it banana grabbering it up or something like that. Turn it into a verb.
So I took it upon myself to search the Xbox Live arcade games there, and I came across a gem that was sponsored by Doritos.
Okay? Great chips.
Great.
They are
fantastic.
Great chips. Hate the hell out of
you know,
them.
This episode of Doritos 30 brought to you by.
They make
hashtag
a shitty
Doritos.
Taco.
Doritos.
Make a shitty taco shell, though.
They do. They aren't a great taco shell.
No.
Stick to chips, Doritos. Just had two tonight.
Did you?
Really? And I'm actually with you both. I can't find it. It's just not near as good as a chip.
No. So, what was that game called? It was a free game Doritos called Crash Course. Was it Crash Course? Crash something.
Jason, we know you know.
I have no idea.
I believe it's Crash Course. If anybody's ever seen that show Wipeout, it is kind of like that a little bit, where you have to get from one end to the other in the quickest time possible.
Yep.
And lots of obstacles and hills and
moving treadmills
and trampolines and paintballs and
because we are tied very closely to the entertainment industry, it's actually worth noting that one of the four of us has actually been a tester of the course on Wipeout.
Oh yeah,
and thought he could run it better than most, and decided to take it up a notch, only to find himself in a frozen lake of water.
We're talking about the real,
the real
Wipeout.
We're talking about you, Adam McFarlane, running the course and going into the water.
Let me tell you, the Doritos version is significantly warmer.
It is,
the
thing that sucked about it is, you know, we tried to find a game that we all would be on screen at the same time, and you know, we can all laugh and talk about it at the same time. And all it was our character, and then some cutout characters that were being flown around with like a helicopter sort of thing, so you can see where they were.
Right.
Jason won the first one and bragged pretty heavily. And then just got demolished every race after that.
That's a complete understatement.
It is.
You guys completed the course.
Totally
like,
slaughtered, demolished.
Yeah,
like,
there's no real word to describe it. Like, I think you guys beat it in like a minute 45, a minute 50. I'm pretty sure I hit the 5 minute mark.
Oh, yeah. And that wasn't even counting. Like, the first game, the best was that Jason was like, yeah, totally. Look at that. Look at those scores. And Jason beat
Josh by 15 seconds beat...
Oh, I was...
Jack wasn't even
horrible.
Really... he must have had his controller upside down. Were you even pushing the right buttons?
First game? I'm not lying. I legit tried it, and that just sucked.
You were using your Wiimote, weren't you?
Yeah. It was bad, dude.
That's problem one. But then the second game... I mean, I think I beat Jason by, 3-4 minutes. Jack by 5-6.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of trying to do those time trials in Mario. Like Super Mario 1, the very, very first one on Nintendo, where if you just time your jumps perfectly through the run, you could do it. And this game is so much like that, but if you miss one step, you're back to the beginning.
Well, then you get all flushed, and then you get all flushed. You're like, I'm just going to go. And if you don't slow down.
Yeah. But, It's a rough one.
But let's talk about it. This is a game anybody who has an Xbox Live account can download for free.
And this was free. And that was what the huge grasp or the huge draw of it was that it was free. We didn't have to pay for anything. It was a, co-op multiplayer game. So it was like, hey, we tried it out. And then upon trying to search for other ones as kind of a collective group.
10 minutes later.
That's okay.
After we had agreed.
Yep. Via emails during the day. We all said 10 p.m. What did I do?
Specifically 10 minutes in, Adam thought it was more important for extracurricular activities that involve people with bigger chests than the three of us.
Also not male.
Yes. to enjoy their time and not ours.
I did.
But I want you to know, you two gentlemen who stuck around, I love you both.
How long did you guys play for?
Not long.
Eight more minutes.
I tell you what, even if it was one more minute, it was one more minute longer than you, buddy.
My Xbox crashed.
We all did.
Let's get into that. But
did
anyways,
you?
Yeah, all three of us.
That
game, and Jason, you said it. That game was awesome.
What was the second game?
We haven't gotten to that one.
Yeah.
I'll go back into the first one. I was impressed with how well for a free game.
Oh, 100%.
Dude, it looked better than Wii Sports that came with a damn Wii.
And what I think you said it too, you might have said it, Jason, or Adam said it. I'm surprised to see how many of my friends...
That was me.
Oh, that was you.
It was my whole buddy
How many
list,
of my friends are
it.
Actually on the leaderboards for this thing already? It's just like, yeah. You look at how many times it's been downloaded. It's like 62,000 times or something.
When
like
did it
that.
Come out?
I have no clue. I didn't pay that much attention. Yeah, I just saw the word free and I was just like,
Doritos.
Click.
Obviously, Doritos was
no,
a
that
drop.
Sold me. I was in for that. But
and then, now, after finishing that, upon further investigation, that was amazing.
I got cookie crisp dust in my eye.
Adam's having his own technical difficulties.
I really
right
got
now.
Cookie crisp dust in my eye. What a terrible time not to have a camera.
Adam took the cereal challenge seriously. It's in his eyes.
So we continued to look for a game, and we found another free game sponsored by the lovely Doritos.
God, it makes me love them that much more.
Called, what is it, Helm's Way?
Helm's.
Yeah.
Is it Helm's Way?
Harm Way?
No, it's not Harm's Way. I think it's
no, it might have been, right?
Harm's Way or Helm's Way?
No, it's Harm's Way. It's Harm's
Way?
Yeah.
I don't know. If you go on Xbox,
this is going to be like your
go on Xbox. It starts with an H, and it is a racing kind of shooter game. And I'll let
Harm's Way
one of you two go ahead and explain that one.
So basically, we thought it was simply a racing game, like a third person racing game. So we each selected a car and we raced, and it was fun. The graphics were actually really good. Really good, and even
for a free game.
Not even for a free game.
It was as good.
Yeah, they were really great graphics. But then we realized we go back to the menu after our first race, and we're like, okay, yeah, it's pretty, but is it fun? And then we figure out that we had missed the entire point of the game, which is that you can choose to either be a car or a gun.
What?
Basically,
like the gun?
A driver or a shooter.
Shooter. Yeah.
So what you find out is that along the race course, along the whole track, you can race a car and you can try and do a normal race, but the whole time there's turrets hidden in the terrain all around this track, and your objective is to shoot the cars. And you're supposed to do teams of two. So
Adam, you so messed up.
There's
dude.
One cool. driver, and then you're supposed to team up with a shooter who is trying to take out the other drivers.
Oh.
And they're teamed up with other shooters who are trying to take out your driver. And it's this big, messy web. And then Josh figures out... Like 2 seconds in, like Jack and I are kind of like, oh, I think I get this. And then my turret explodes, my gun. Josh figures out that as a shooter, you can shoot not only the cars, but the other guns as well. So it'd be like...
Neither one
like
of us realizes.
Turrets? Like, can you switch turrets?
Yeah, constantly switching around the track. Yeah.
And so I would just be ahead and I would see Jason's name and be like... Ricochet. Be like, killed. Yeah, and I'm Ricochet. Like,
yes.
And no I would just idea. Start giggling yes. and then go on to the next turret and then shoot you guys again.
Yeah, it was an incredibly fun game. We'll play it again.
But what was also cool, too, is it's open. So because it's four drivers and four shooters, so it's an eight-player multiplayer. And I don't think we had locked any...
yeah, obviously
anything down. So it was just three of us in our first one that we did, and then like, the next one somebody jumped in, and so he funny. Decided to be the driver for my team, and I was the shooter.
Oh.
And they all three, oh, the two of them got bots, you know, as drivers. So it was me and this guy. Clearly, we won. Yeah.
Clearly, it was an
clearly
unfair
it was
advantage.
Awesome. But that's then awesome. What sucked is then the next game that came in, a bunch of guys like our whole thing basically filled up.
Wow.
And that's when my...
Are you talking to all of them?
That's when things went south.
Yeah. That's when my Xbox crashed.
It not only froze, it locked your entire Xbox.
Yeah, all three of us locked all of our Xboxes.
Xbox. Wow.
So, hey, you get what you pay for.
that's what I took from that. There were some other games that looked promising that I'm sure we'll try. A lot of them we had to buy.
Like Flirt? The game?
Oh, the indie game section. If you've never ever gone, and I hadn't, I or will admit.
The other gem, Try Not to Fart.
Yes, that is
wow, a cool. That made cool. it in the Xbox Live arcade? Because that's a
the thing.
Web
it's,
game.
It's not in the arcade. It's in the indie section. Oh.
What's
indie section?
What's the pregnancy
I mean,
one? There was some crazy
that
pregnancy
anything
one.
Goes one.
Oh, like Extreme Teenage Pregnancy 2
right,
or something like that?
I didn't know I was actually pregnant.
No,
the
it's
game.
It's something insane like what Jason said.
No, yeah. it's horrible.
There are some gems of titles.
And they're
now,
like 80 Microsoft points, which equals out to like think like 99 cents
yeah,
or
it's
like
a
dollar.
A buck, yeah, absolutely.
For Microsoft. So I was just like, this has just opened a whole new world for me.
Wow. But we didn't try any of those.
There was Avatar Deathmatch, where like you're in like this little neighborhood with these Nerf guns, but it's your actual avatar. Like,
I love that.
The
anything
thing.
Anything that can be
and
the actual avatar
first,
is funny.
Yeah, and this first-person shooter thing, all of them... the majority of them had to deal with your avatar, which I was just like, anything to see my guy running around in a Wolverine shirt was just dope.
Adam, so when we launched the very first game, when Adam was still playing with us, what's cool, and you guys will see this in the video because I recorded it, it has us, at, like, all four of us on screen doing these little animations. And, I look how
yeah.
I look in real life. I have my
yeah.
red Adidas track jacket yeah. on, my hair. Josh looks like Josh with his Wolverine crap on. Jason
had a Halo helmet.
Had a Halo,
oh,
which
yeah.
is like,
I got
and
by
then,
that.
And then there's Adam, which literally looked like he took mom and dad gave him a Microsoft points card and he went out and bought as much crap as he could.
I had
put
a,
it all
I had
on
a top
his character.
Hat, a monocle, elf
a fucking
ears,
mask,
like a purple panther mask, a long like kind of a dress coat. Some slacks, some nice dress shoes.
I didn't even know where you were trying to go with it, honestly. I was
trying to bring in all, you know, all
got,
aspects.
It got started and went south fast with that. But I had a blast. And, I mean, I had fun in both. I sucked so bad in that first one, though, that it discouraged me. I mean, I
you
was
did.
Horrible.
Yeah, you were like,
you were really
I'm
bad.
I'm sucking. I mean, like you were
I'm
so
actually,
down.
I'm actually pretty sure that you found the limit of how long they'll let you play a level. Like, at one point, I think we played and
well, I walked
you
away.
Had, like,
I walked away.
Like it said Jack has chickened out. Like, it wouldn't actually
oh,
let
you hit
you
the
finish.
Right bumper, and it skips you ahead. If you
oh,
like,
I did.
If you,
I
like,
did.
Can't get, if you can't beat
no,
it.
No, I did just the, that's when I walked away and came back.
Yeah. Fuck this, I'm out.
There's a couple parts. I just was pissed.
So yeah. So that that task or challenge, if you will, is going to be continued.
Yeah. Now I hope though, like I sent out to the guys, you know, touching on that, like wanting to do more of this co-op kind of stuff because I have a blast with us playing. Was something I sent out to the crew about that got released about Black Ops, which is potentially the 8-player
zombies.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And
Blops.
That's something I've never really dove into zombies, but. I think this might be a good time, this next game around, to dive in with you cats.
I can definitely be potentially convinced to re-embrace the Call of Duty franchise, although I will say I'm not sure $60 for zombies is quite worth it, although it could be. It could be. It depends. It depends.
It's a future game. We talked futuristic,
it's
which
more,
is more your style.
Well, yeah.
Or could be more your style.
It's more, would you pay $60 to do something that you know for a fact... 2 months down the road, your friends are going to then jump into multiplayer, which you have no desire to play.
But what if you got two?
My hope is if you have it, we'll get you into one or two that I can record. That's all I hope. That's my goal in life.
Why don't you rent it?
Yeah.
Okay.
for a week.
Why are we doing that? Why don't we all just do the $10 and fucking buy it for him so he has it?
I'll throw in $10.
No.
Josh, you stingy bastard.
Just outright, no, fuck you.
No. You can afford it.
I want some Chipotle.
I know he can.
Speaking of multiplayer.
Yes.
Minecraft was released on Xbox today.
Is that multiplayer?
It is.
It is.
Let's
it
try is. It, guys.
It is indeed.
Oh, how God. Many Microsoft points? I only have like 400 left it's after my avatar.
It's a... he started Note Folks with 20,000.
It's an expensive avatar. It's an expensive game. It's an arcade game. It's $20. It's not a cheap game.
What does that buy me?
Fun with your friends.
Hey, you guys can buy Trials Evolution and we could race 4x. I played online. It's okay.
Wow, you really sold me on that.
I asked Jason, what did I ask you? It's I said, okay. Hey, so what will we do? We buy Minecraft. What did you tell me? We'll dig. I think it was one of your responses.
I believe I said, well, we can dig and deep. Survive and explore.
What we should ask survive some of what? Our listeners, like our me and Josh's buddy Insane, who's a YouTube commentator for some Minecraft stuff. Mr. Justin, why don't you leave some comments on our page and let us know what you do when you play Minecraft? Because I'm having a tough time knowing what to do in that game.
Really sell the game, too. Because,
we're going to need it. Like you and Magnus and Kid, why don't you guys get together and do a little synopsis for me and LeBravo
and Adam and the Grabber.
Exploration and continually generated terrain and environments.
In a block
fashion.
So
if we start walking...
And you didn't stop?
We could just keep going.
I don't know that for a fact, but I believe so.
Can I hook it up to that thing where I want to actually walk? You know, that
the
that,
treadmill?
No, the that
Connect?
One. No, yeah. Is it Connect base?
That dude walking in
yeah.
place?
For scrim?
I do not know.
I love how all of us looked at it and were like, fuck, that looks tiring.
Yeah, yeah.
So this past weekend, there was a movie that came out that did all right.
A little bit. It did okay.
Anyone want to touch on that one?
Just squeaked in.
Jack?
It was a new Tyler Perry movie, right? We're All Black? Still?
Madea meets the Avengers.
Madea makes a pizza?
Part two? Adam, did you? Adam, you're a horrible man.
With that
segue.
You have broken Josh. You have broken Josh.
And for anybody who knows Josh, this is where you want Josh to get. This is no alcohol, Josh, which is even better. Adam,
yeah,
give us some numbers on the amazing opening of Avengers.
But before you do that, why don't you give us some lead up? What
were
some of the other
movies?
Well,
let's be honest. Tyler Perry did have a movie out called Think Like a Man.
Did he really?
Yeah. It did. It did a whopping 8.1 mil last weekend.
And Avengers?
Slightly more, 207.4 million opening weekend
now,
domestic.
Now, as one of the two, I think in the room who've seen it, Jason, you haven't seen it yet, right?
I have not.
Okay, so me and Josh have seen it.
Awesome.
It lived up to a hype. I just didn't think having that many kind of almost gimmicky superheroes in one movie could do.
So, can we jump into a little tiny bit of perspective? Like, what does 207 million mean for anyone who doesn't follow?
For a weekend.
Yeah.
I'll kind of
this is an all-time high.
It is. Yeah. So, previous record was Harry Potter Deathly Hallows 2, which did 169 million. So
it's not that the Avengers broke the record.
It destroyed the record by 28 million, which is more than some movies make opening weekend anyway.
And I remember back in the day when Spider-Man 3 was coming out.
Great movie.
Isn't it? When you had Emo Spidey. That was...
Oh, kill me now.
We were at Sony at the time, and that was the big kind of fingers crossed sort of thing, that it was going to beat...
Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spidey 2 had
2000 had like the highest, right? So before that was Pirates.
I think it was Pirates
Dead Man's Chest.
It was Pirates Dead Man's Chest, like had just broken the record.
Let's see, 2006.
And then the next thing was Spider-Man 3, and we broke it, and we were like, "Oh my god!" But I mean, at the time, these records that are being broken are, you know, split by, you know, $200 million.
Yeah. I mean, like here goes just a list.
Or $2 million.
It goes like Harry Potter, 169. Mm-hmm. Dark Knight, 158. Hunger Games, 152. Spider-Man 3, 151. Twilight, 142. Twilight 138. So it's like there was a pretty tight little spread there.
I wonder. Yeah. Well, the one thing they had going for them for sure was that ludicrous pre-sale number they had. They were into a ridiculous amount of. Yeah, I forgot the exact number, but they broke some record for pre-sale.
Really?
Which was it was just an insane number that they had, dude. Just in pre-sale.
Huh? Well, even internationally, before it got released in the U.S., it had made $180 million internationally. Jeez. Going out a week before.
That's the number I was thinking.
Yeah. And it is up to, internationally, it's up to $744 million.
It has not been out for a week yet.
No.
It's not bad.
And it's crazy because it's the first movie. Matter of fact, it's the first movie probably since I was a kid that I really want to see again in the theater.
Nice.
And that's the God's honest truth. There's just not been a movie, even ones I've enjoyed, that I'm like, yeah, I want to go back in the theater and see it on the big screen.
This one.
It was that damn fun.
Yeah.
I mean, not giving spoilers away or anything, even to you two guys, the dialogue was insanely witty. And something me and Sean talked about, Fennelstein, who's not here, was, and he hasn't seen it but knew, the dialogue between characters who are of different origins and time period is insanely witty.
Oh.
I'm not sure, Joseph, if you thought about that. You know, you figure Captain America's from the 50s, Thor's a god.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, two nerds.
Yeah.
You know, all together in one room.
Oh, yeah. Like,
start talking. It's just insane.
Like, there's a time in where Banner starts saying something.
Super science-y.
Yeah, super technical. And then, like, Stark goes like, finally, somebody that speaks English.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, finally, somebody on this level. And, you know, he's sitting there making fun of Captain America going like, you know, come step to me, old man. You know, even though he's
they do a great job with just dialogue and the timing, dude. And I give Mr. Whedon a heads up for being able to take those actors and really
cool.
Because everybody got their kind of due screen time, if you will. Like, you know, you would think with that many kind of heavy hitters, that many stars in the movie. And, you know, not just, you know, big actors, but big characters. Who all had their own movie into one.
I heard something interesting today, which was that Robert Downey Jr. is contractually signed on with Marvel to do Iron Man 1, 2, and 3 and Avengers 1. So this movie has made so much money, guaranteed, 100% guaranteed, there will be an Avengers 2. Now, Robert Downey Jr. gets to renegotiate his contract for the Avengers 2, which means basically... He has, who makes the movie? Oh, yeah, sorry, Marvel. He has Marvel literally just over a barrel.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Oh, I'm sure. If he's smart, he does sort of what the Matrix team did and says, I want part of the back end. And then also they did something with marketing as well, where they got some kind of like commission tie-in or something when they signed on to do the other films. But I thought I had read something with Robert Downey Jr. as well as him being like an executive producer on the third one or something with Iron Man 3. Like, he has a lot of say in that film.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Which I'd be fine with, dude, because even in event, he's just but you such also a don't damn want, good actor.
But you also don't want to come off and be that guy in the press. Because then it does hurt what you're saying, like with Edward Norton.
Well, he's not, you know, and that's just, you never really get that from Robert Downey, that he's sort of a douche about the gig like that, where Edward, dude, just.
Yeah, and so.
Yeah.
But I mean, Mark Ruffalo got signed on for 6.
And he played, how did he do his Hulk? Awesome. Yeah?
Yeah.
Surprisingly. Best Hulk like, that's
really?
Oh,
yeah,
God,
and I liked Edward Norton.
Was he
a lot.
Hulk or Bruce Banner?
Both.
He did an amazing job as Bruce Banner.
Was he like mocap as the Hulk?
Oh.
I doubt it
because...
I think it's 100% CG.
The stuff in the Hulk, yeah, the movement of him, it doesn't come across as being mocap.
What I did like too, though, if you guys... I mean, you guys have seen some of the other films, OJ, right? And Adam, you guys have seen the Iron Mans and stuff. Yeah.
I've seen all the Iron Man 2. I've seen all the lead-ups.
So the
careful, like, spoiler alert.
Have you not seen Iron Man 2?
Have you seen Iron Man 2?
I have.
Okay.
But there might be people out there listening.
There's a buffer, and if they have,
if you're listening to this show. So, well, she's in the trailer. So, Scarlett Johansson's character, obviously, a Black Widow. What I found interesting is that Joss did such a good job of making time for them, too.
Because
it's very apparent they don't have super...
Whatever.
And Hawkeye. They don't have...
Hawkeye kicked ass.
Yeah, they don't have superpowers. Awesome. But he gave them enough time to where, like, you still... that's what I mean. It's just such an amazing job to take all those characters
good. That's good.
And still give them kind of their cred for what they are, knowing full well that, you know, she's not the Hulk.
Right.
You know, she's not going to turn into some badass. But I'd recommend everybody listening to, you know, we have no stake in this film. None of us in this room worked on it. But
God, I wish we did.
God bless it is an awesome film.
Cross going to do anything for Disney exec? What's his face?
Yeah.
Stock went up today.
It's a good question.
Oh,
the other day.
So
the Disney executive that the Hollywood Reporter, Variety, and us were reporting on the other day that he was ousted because of how poor of a performance John Carter of Mars was. This begs the question of now, can he come back and go, ah, see what I did? I knew what I was doing all along.
But I heard that his movies that he actually greenlit and put into production are movies that are coming out, not or they haven't come out yet. They're coming out later. So he wasn't in charge of that so much.
I do not know how Marvel ties in with the Walt Disney Studios.
Oh, right. So he may not have his head.
It is good for the Disney brand, though, and it is good for their financial pockets that this is doing as well, and it's going to be good for merchandising. And
I think it's good. I think it's good to see just, you know, you get kind of nervous when you see these big, big Hollywood movies not do well, because you say, okay, what's that going to do for these kind of big-scale summer blockbusters in the future, is if you start seeing them, you know, time
well,
and time
Well, a movie like that is set up, honest to God, is set up to fail.
Yeah.
It just is. I mean, it's why they couldn't get greenlit. Do you guys remember when they were trying to greenlit the Justice League?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
that failed, though.
That was the same thing. It failed in writing. They couldn't even get a story, like a cohesion of a story together.
Well, the thing
that
killed
it,
too, was a writer strike at the time. Because it was in pretty good swing. Giant was doing it. They had stuff going, and then the writer strike hit, and everything got put on hold, and then everything got rebudgeted, redone, and it just got was like, no, nah, we can't.
Because I just kept hearing the budget was going to be so ridiculous that nobody would take it.
Mm. That's hard.
Because you do. I mean, well, a lot of those characters, depending on what you're doing. But here's the thing. I think Avengers showed that you could do it. You could take a film with that many, say, superheroes and make it work, depending on how you edit, how you show them and whatnot, which I think was the worry with the Super Friends was, we can't afford to have Superman, Wonder Woman, and Hawkman or whatever on screen at the same time, kicking
who knows
Lex's ass or whoever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to hopefully some other studios and comic book franchises sort of get picked up after this.
Yes.
So that was very insightful.
Jason Carter, everyone.
Yes.
Agreed.
So the Massachusetts
Institute of Technology?
There it is. I don't know if you know where it's going.
MIT.
MIT.
MIT. You know, no big deal. MIT.
They continually advertise projects, publicize, right? They're very, very good about publicizing projects that are done by students as grad projects or research projects with faculty advisors. And I don't know what it's like to go to MIT. I did not go there, but it seems like a giant playground to me.
I've seen 21. So.
You have to be smart, apparently, but also once you get there, you can pretty much do what you want to do. So this week, MIT sends out, starts publicizing a little bit about that student project that there are some students who have made a real life Mario Kart.
Oh, the electric.
Basically, a very tiny, very tiny electric go-kart. That is, it looks just like a little miniature Mario Kart. Like, it's pretty much a seat with a steering wheel right between your legs.
Steering wheel looks like a freaking tire wrench.
Tire iron. And it's got these little tiny wheels, and it skids and drifts just like a Mario Kart.
I thought the wheels were the power.
Yeah, wasn't there motors?
Could be.
The motor wasn't the wheel, because the guy's like, even the thing, he's like, oh, is all four wheels on? And he's like, yeah.
Yes, it could be. Awesome. There's probably some smart thing in there. Honestly, I didn't get that far because I was just amazed at how awesome it was that they were swerving around this indoor building. But I thought, I would have liked to have gone to a school where they would have allowed me to build Mario Kart. Why not?
In the name
Why
of
not?
Science.
Exactly. So we will post a link to the video, but it definitely looks like a lot of fun, and we're probably completely underselling, Josh, you're right, the science behind what's actually going on, which is probably very awesome.
We're talking about
it was a little cart, it had wheels, it was real fun.
I waited for Jason to go that route, and the fact you didn't, dude, I applaud you this week. That's awesome.
Go which route?
The route of, yeah, the super taking something as cool as a Mario Kart, and instead of just leaving it as, God, that's so cool, and you going, but underneath the hood, I mean, it did this.
So,
with the
by the way, for anyone who's living, listening to our show, and who lives up in the Bay Area, who's gone to San Francisco, I have a story.
I was going to make some little comment about your brother, if that's where you're going.
So my brother, Josh, if you're listening, I'm sorry I'm telling this story, but it's awesome.
No problem.
So there's these little cars all over San Francisco that are like, I think they're called zip cars, I believe. And they're basically like these little tiny two-person wagon-y things. I don't know what to call them. They're basically like, they look like little go-karts. They're not. They're cars, but they're like...
But they are small, like a go-kart.
They're very small, and they're like two people.
And it's to tour the city, so you could, you know, open air and...
Right. Think about like, you know, you go to some cities and they have like bicycles that you can like rent, and you can like ride around in like a bicycle with a canopy, or like a rickshaw in certain countries. But imagine that, but this is like the San Francisco version. So it's like...
Instead of powered by a small man, it's powered by a small motor.
Exactly. And so my brother, Josh... who lives up in San Francisco, he and his friends had a brilliant idea one day, which is that they wanted to go out and rent as many of these zip cars as they could. So they got a whole bunch of them. And then they all dressed like Mario characters, got a whole bunch of bananas, and tied three balloons to the back of each one of these little carts. And they had a race around San Francisco, throwing bananas at other cars and each other, and trying to pop each other's balloons. And let me just tell you that he hasn't actually ever sent me pictures. Josh, I'm still holding you to this. But in my mind... The faces of the passerbys has just got to be brilliant.
Maybe you shouldn't get pictures just so that it can stay that pristine, it doesn't ruin beautiful.
The I have the vision in my head of how it would be shot with two old people coming down the hill and then these just whipping by doing like a figure eight.
Have you seen, there's this French guy that has one of those like K1 carts that are like crazy fast, dressed like Mario, and he's bombing around like... Paris and like literally like going like 70, 80 and he goes into a grocery store and every video ends with him getting arrested. Every video he's pulled over and in cuffs.
But usually the best, I think the first video was he gets pulled over and he's sitting in his little cart and then as the cop gets out of his car and starts walking towards it, he takes off. So the cop has to run back to his car. And go
it's a it. Riot. I think they put it to the 8-bit music and you just are like...
Can you get him on Top Gear?
Oh, maybe. Maybe. That would be Stig versus Mario.
Have him run the course.
Stig versus Mario.
Speaking of Top Gear, we expect that you're going to reach out to MIT and see if you can get these Mario Karts.
Yeah, we're constantly looking for low-speed races.
I want to see the Stig racing around the track, the Top Gear track, in this little mini car.
He did race around the Top Gear track in a Lamborghini Tractor. It was like a 14.5-minute lap, so I don't think we're going to do anything that's slower than that. Or needs to get recharged.
This will go faster than that.
Speaking of Lamborghini, one of the latest car drivers I think I have, are you guys going to get a hold of that Lamborghini SUV?
It's not anywhere testable yet.
Okay,
but that's the plan.
So I saw that
the urea, and the uvula,
the urea.
It something. It's weird.
Urethra.
It's around a breast.
Yeah.
Mulva.
No, hold on. It's called
that's the other part.
It's called something weird.
Yeah. Is it urea? You combine that with like.
I was going areolas.
No, I'm pretty sure that's one of the ingredients of urine. I'm not positive.
It's a urus. U-R-U-S.
Anyways, urea and ammonia makes up pee or something like that.
It is as ugly as it sounds. Oh, no, cool. You are insane, my friend. That car looks, or the SUV looks like garbage.
It's like the Yaris? What are you doing? Ew.
Yeah, you don't want that.
This is going to be right up Jason's alley. Modesty, right here.
Jason, you clearly need one of those.
How much will this monstrosity cost?
No, probably $200,000-$300,000.
Awesome. SUV. Worth every penny.
SUV.
Speaking of cars, we are definitely very big fans on this show of the Google driverless car project.
Absolutely.
We follow it pretty closely. And some interesting news this week. Google officially, their cars became street legal in Nevada.
Really?
Now, what does that mean exactly?
So it sounds much cooler. Basically, they can officially be driven legally on the streets. Now, I don't know if you're reading the subtext of that, but I understand it correctly. I don't believe you can actually have a driverless car on the freeways of California.
It's still licensed, and I think they can't go out of Nevada.
No, I'm talking about California. Like, technically, if you look at that, in California, that means they're breaking the law.
Because those things have been driven all over California. It's a test thing where they have supervision, and they probably have escorts, and they probably have
though, in Nevada, you said Nevada?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is... Like, we saw the video we posted. So that guy could physically, if he's in Nevada, could get into his car now without the team.
who was in the car with him and just go.
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. So there's some rules to it. So it's okay. limited to some to a very certain area of Nevada.
The part with nobody.
Yeah.
Zizix? Is it out on Zizix Road? Yeah. For you guys who aren't, who've never been out there, on your way from LA to Vegas on the drive, there is, and I shit you not, there is a road that you can pull off, and it is literally out in the middle of the desert. It is called Zizix.
Yeah.
And for you, like the spelling, it is XXYZZ.
Yep.
I think if I'm spelling it correctly.
Or something like that.
Maybe ZZYXX.
Whatever.
Yes.
There's a lot of Z's and there's a Y and there's some X's.
They tend to shoot a lot of, in my understanding, they shoot a lot of car commercials out there because off that road there is absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So then the only other stipulation on that is I believe there has to be two passengers at all time, meaning one behind the wheel and one in the passenger seat.
I think there's something even about like time of day. There's some other weird limitations on it.
Baby steps.
But yeah, it's definitely a step.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, in all seriousness, I think for those of us who are fans of the project, it's very fascinating.
Well, that's
very fascinating.
Oh, that's a huge leap for them, probably.
So in a similar vein, the man behind the, you know, the brains of the engineer behind the Google driverless car who kind of took all the sensor equipment, programmed the semi-AI for the project, he is now a professor at Stanford, and he has a course, and I will try and find the course if I can, but he has, I don't believe we've spoken about this on the podcast before, but he has a very interesting philosophy where he wants to teach as many people at a time as humanly possible. So he has gotten Stanford to agree that he wants to be able to, any course he teaches on computer programming has to be completely streamed live over the internet and anyone for free can listen, and they can take online online tests as though you're a part of the course. And if you pass these tests, he will email you a certificate of completion of his course. And he would only agree to teach at Stanford if they would agree to do this. So he's basically saying any class I teach is
open source.
Is completely free.
Open source classes.
I believe these numbers correctly, I believe there are 20,000 people that watched his last semester, and his goal is to get that up to 200,000.
Jeez.
But here's the interesting thing. The class, how to program a driverless car in Python.
Huh?
So are you going to take it?
The piece of it that I think is missing, like that sounds awesome for anyone out there listening. Python is a scripting language that has basically become the lifeblood of the animation VFX industry. Pretty much all the major pieces of software that we use accesses the functionality of this new language. It's been around for a while.
Yes, because there's Perl, there's C++, there's Mel, and
but Python over the last,
this
say,
is a simpler version of that.
Yeah, Python has kind of become accepted over the last, I don't know, say 8 to 10 years. But so the fact that you could think, oh, the scripting language, which reads very easily and is very well adopted, you could program a driverless car using it. But the piece that's missing is, you need all the sensors.
All the LiDAR, all the, you know, you need your 500 grand worth of,
exactly,
of shit
so
on
he,
your car.
He may tell you how all the software behind it, but you don't have any of the hardware that you need. So don't
proprietary stuff that only Google has.
Don't think that.
You're not hooking your Yaris up to drive
now,
without
I don't
you.
Think, I don't think there's proprietary stuff, because I do think the course actually, he goes through and shows you every piece that you would possibly need. So it's start to finish of a driverless car. Does you just he, don't have all the.
Does he show you like the over the. Now, if you go down to your Home Depot and buy some PVC, and
yeah,
some
this
nuts.
Is not a, this is not a, a DIY,
a weekend DIY.
That's what I'm like, I'm in, Jason.
Project difficulty, medium
I'm
hard.
I'm not building a car. I'm out.
Take a 2x4, put 4 wheels on the bottom.
Exactly.
Skate
that's what
to
I'm
your
like,
heart's content.
Oh, Adam, I thought we were making a car.
I don't know. I really thought this was gonna, I was going to end this 6-week class with a car.
But you know what? What he's doing though reminds me of the topic I had a while back, where the guy did the TED Talk who has that course. Who has those courses online? I'm horrible now for not remembering the name of the school. Where that was his goal. He wanted anybody and everybody to just open education.
I'm pretty sure we talked about it on the podcast.
No, we did.
We in length.
We did. We did. I'm
Coda.
No, it's some of the K. Yeah, it starts with a K.
That one that you take the classes. Like,
yeah. Well, it just Koopa. Take whatever class you want.
Koopa.
But,
like
Troopa.
Dupa Koopa. What's the bad guy in Mario?
Cooper, this is horrible. Anyways,
Bowser.
But you take tests. Yeah. I mean, you take tests, and it doesn't let you pass the course without the test, and you move on, and it tracks that. And I commended that side. I commend him for wanting to do that with just open education.
Going back real quick to the Google cart, there was an interesting thing I read because it's come up on in Top Gear brainstorming stuff. Lap times, they do track time. They
with the Prius?
With the Priuses, and it is consistently faster
than what
without a driver.
Drivers,
in it?
Yeah, than race car drivers,
because it just really
yeah. Not by much, but it's consistently...
Because it knows how to just cut...
It's just...
Every corner is perfect. Just,
yeah.
So if you would just surrender control to the machines, they'd get you there faster.
But the other thing about the law, though, is you still have to... Like, you can't... There still has to be a person sitting in the driver's seat.
Yes.
You can't...
How does it...
Just not off. Just...
How does it handle traffic? Yeah. I want to see that in LA traffic. I want to see it on the 405.
It's been used on the 101. I mean, it's well documented. It? Absolutely. The 101 on the 5 freeway during rush hour. Sorry, on the 101 freeway near Palo Alto, Mountain View during rush hour traffic.
I would love to see the
video. I'll see what happens. Here's when, like, probably bikes doing, split lanes though. By
it's, it. It's probably like, it's not doing what we do, which is we have a little bit of room and we go and then we stop. And we have a little bit of room and we go and we
no,
stop.
No, then you
I'm
know
sure
what it's doing?
I'm sure it's sitting there and it's taking off
fucking
slower.
The flow up then.
But it's going honestly. At a flow.
You're it's a flow. It's screwing
there,
up.
There's no flow when it comes to traffic.
No, but there is.
There's
the
a
guy,
whole
the, oh my God, dude. The guy who sits there for a good 10 minutes before the rest of the people go, that will I mean,
yeah,
that's what ends
that,
up
I mean,
starting a lot of traffic. So in my eyes, I hope, I mean, I'm not saying I hope it slams on the gas every single time, but I'm hoping there isn't some huge.
No,
like,
what I'm thinking is it's probably going at like a simple pace though. Like, you know, it's, so by the time it would come up to the next one, it's already going. So it's trying to constantly.
I just don't want the 10 car lengths or whatever. What is the legal distance? The legal distance I remember taking the test is like.
Yeah.
Is a.
I'm thinking of this.
Sorry, state of California. Is a stupid amount distance from the other car.
It's however far you can throw a microwave.
How
it's,
high
it's supposed to be? It's supposed to be one car length for
oh,
every
I wish
10
we had
miles
video
an hour.
This week. I'd chuck the hell out of a microwave, dude.
Am I like on a platform or am I on the ground? Or can I do any kind of swinging it, like with a chain? Like a.
Chainsaw?
I guess we're just doing word association now.
I have a question for you guys about firewood.
Okay. I'm pro firewood.
Yeah.
So yeah, next question.
I'm an insta log kind of guy.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, that was it. I just want to know if you'd ever use it,
Josh.
Insta. I'd rather use real wood than the insta log.
Yeah. Real log.
Real wood with lighter fluid to get it going. That's my go-to.
See, dude, when I had the place in Hollywood, we used just the. There's something about the insta log. You light the ends, dude, and it makes colors and it's beautiful.
What about just the whole gas thing?
And you
just
want to stare at your.
Hey, I'm gonna be 100% honest with you guys. When I threw that out there, I did not expect you to talk about it.
Hey, we did.
Have you not real? And this goes to listeners, which I'm sure you all know. There is nothing that can be brought up that we can't talk about.
Yeah, for at least
fish
minutes.
Scales.
I wouldn't eat them.
So when I lived in Key West, seriously, I can go with this, dude. That's sad. I could actually go with that one, dude.
Let's not.
But there's,
speaking of Florida, have
I
ever told you that I wanted to start, if I started a band nowadays, and Josh and I are thinking about doing this, what I would name this band?
America's Wang?
No.
Clearly you didn't talk to Jason about
Florida.
The name of the band.
Sorry. We've got a miscommunication here.
It would be called Habitat for Huge Manatees.
And
what
I
kind
have
of music
can
you
I
play?
Be the can I be the DJ?
Inspirational.
Can you guys
music?
Can you guys have a DJ?
Like that really like big like Prefontaine, that big Finnish race.
All I want is every so often you to look back at me and I just scratch a little bit and then I go back to doing nothing.
So
I just want
to
be there.
Back to Google driverless cars.
Okay. Because full circle here.
Yes, wow. Because this makes a better transition.
Not a linked circle though.
Manatees.
Because this makes a better segue into Microsoft Research.
Okay. Mm.
See how we'll see what I did.
Manatees
there.
Are about research. So
yes,
you could have done that.
That's true. People research manatees. Speaking of research,
speaking of that, check this out.
Great segue. I love it. Continue.
So I follow pretty closely the Microsoft Research Group, which similar to MIT, seems like a place where people just invent
whatever they
stuff.
Want.
And but they're inventing a lot of things. Obviously, technology, usually computer based. And they did something they announced something that is really amazing called Soundwave. Now, Soundwave is a project that, if I understand correctly, with a simple software update of any computer that's out there, basically, like the laptop we're recording this podcast on, you can, simple software update, you can actually have your computer recognize any gesture that you could possibly do. Take some programming. Basically, like, if I waved my hand in front of the computer, it would recognize that as a distinct, very distinct thing. If I tap my index finger to my thumb, it would recognize that as a different gesture from my index finger and my middle finger touching my thumb.
Well,
wait, why is it called sound wave?
There is some hardware. There is a little bit of hardware. After watching the video, there has to be some electrical input.
No. I think you're thinking of
Is it the same thing as the Disney technology?
No. This is
which is similar to where you're going.
There's two different things that we could be talking about. This. There's the gesture one that has to do with the touching and stuff like that. Then there's the sound one, which doesn't have to do anything with touching. It's all waved based with your hands and stuff like that. It is a gesture based kind of almost with the sound that comes from you waving your hand. It doesn't have to do anything with touching the sensors. That is completely different.
One. So, I'm slightly confusing too. So let's back up. So Microsoft Research is Soundwave is your speakers emit a humanly indecipherable sound, and then your microphone picks up, records basically the bounce of the room.
So as you wave back and forth,
it uses the Doppler effect as an algorithm to actually understand gestures. And so, like, as you push your hand back and forth, thank you for remembering this, Josh, as you move your hand back and forth, it'll recognize that as a distinct gesture. Now, Disney Research, which is a separate division.
I'm sorry, which is what I...
Yes.
Right.
I just wanted to watch.
No, I'm glad you said that, because I was like,
now this one, I'm not remember that. Sure about the technology behind it, but...
But it is sick.
It is basically...
so awesome.
Basically a way using conductive capacitors, something...
You have to, you have to have electricity.
Conducting.
I mean,
some science words. and... It uses
these science words to do science stuff
to actually allow your body to be an input device for a computer. So that's where I was saying, if I use my index finger to my thumb or my index and middle finger to my thumb, that can be recognized as two distinctly different inputs to the computer.
Are you wearing gloves?
No, you're not wearing anything.
You're not wearing.
Hold on. You are doing something. No. He had, when I saw him do it, he had two thick wristbands that were further up his arm, and there was
sweaty.
two small wires, one off each arm. So basically, just where the electricity is, I guess, going small amounts of your body is my guess.
I think that's right. I think what it's doing is it's detecting electrical currents through your body,
kind of the same way when people get on those scales and they try to do their
right.
Basically, that is just. When you stand on that thing, is it sending an electrical pulse from your left foot exactly through your body to your right foot?
But allowed him to do anything with his hands. And where it got crazy to me is when they did it in water.
He can go like one finger in the water. It's like two fingers. Whole hand is in the water. Hand, palm is pressed.
Hand is submerged. He's charged, but what was past that was interesting is that same charge you could apply to any object. So, Jason, that's back to where you're getting at with the door handle. They had done that to a door handle. Depending on how you grab the handle, basically they had a door sign in this circle thing that would light up different things, like gone for 5 minutes, whatever else. Depending on how, when he closed his door, because the charge went through the door handle, and how he held it would dictate what his going away message was on the door.
It sounds
so cheesy, but honest to God, the potential and how dope it was amazing.
Like, he used his finger, and like if you just took the finger and kind of hooked the door handle. Say it's like a kind of an arm door handle. If you were to take your finger and just kind of grab it and then shut the door, you were only kind of, you know, being conducted with this, and it's like, oh, you know, gone for a little bit. But if you left your office but your whole hand was grasping it and it shut, it actually shut, said gone for the day, and locked your door.
What about those times when you're carrying a box and you use your elbow?
That'd be pretty awesome.
What does it do then?
What was the last? Was that the last example? I can't remember.
They
what
did
it was,
the iPod but... one too. Where when he's walking, he taps his wrist, and then he'll sit there and then like tap like 1, 2, 3 like into his palm, and that meant like the third track, and he does like with his fingers like volume up.
That's freaking cool.
They're so cool, dude. The potential is amazing.
It's really interesting. Is that
Imagineering who does that, or is that a different division?
No, it's Disney Research. So it's a separate division that has a couple of locations around the world, and they're distinctly. As far as I know, they're distinctly around only to solve complex problems.
That's cool.
So they're like the MIT of Disney.
Yeah, similar thing with like Microsoft Research, same
That's
kind
cool.
of deal.
That's cool.
Is it like the same people that do what's the thing with the guy who is the future guy at Disneyland?
Bill Nye the Science Guy?
No, you're talking about Honda's robot.
Asimo?
No. At Disney in the room that's spinning around and you can get into it.
I haven't been in that thing
guy
ever,
of tomorrow.
Ever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Asimo?
Yeah.
The Honda robot?
Yeah, he's there.
His name is Asimo.
Yes.
Asimo.
Yeah.
The little robot that's like yay tall.
What are you thinking, dude?
I'm thinking of South Park when Cartman pretends to be that fake robot. His name is Asimo.
Yes.
I thought you were making fun of that.
That's his name, dude.
Yeah, no, he convinces Butters that he is a robot. He's a robot and that he's Butters' like, you know, robot. And he's just like, I am Asimo.
That's the
real name. That's the real name of the robot.
Best, have you seen the video where he falls down the stairs and they roll out that little curtain?
Yeah,
but what's that whole
but
thing?
I
like
saw
Utopia
it. We went to the show.
Land, yeah. What's the...
No, it's what Susie never lets me go to. It's
I haven't been
innovation.
Innovation.
Every time That's we walk over, they go, honey, intervention. No, Jack, no.
I like that place.
So do
I.
I
haven't been in.
Jason.
I want a TiVo
Jason,
there.
Goal next time.
You want a TiVo?
Sort of. It was some kind of thing, and I answered a question about the history, and they were like, hey, you want a TiVo? And I went up on stage, and they handed me a plushed stuffy with the word TiVo on it.
Oh. They really got you.
I was like, yeah, I want a TiVo.
Yeah.
Disney sucks.
Disney, I was just going to say, yay.
Wait,
Disney.
Where are we recording
We did
right
just
now?
Crush people's dreams.
Jack.
Yeah, dude.
I want to know what your clout score
dude.
Is.
Did we talk about clout?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I'm just going to throw this out there before you even tell what it is. It's ridiculous.
Can I
my score?
Can I check
no,
mine?
No,
can
just
check mine?
The idea.
Yeah,
is
yeah,
just
what
ridiculous.
Is it? So this is nutty. This got brought up by one of me and John, well, all of our friends. This guy David Polk we work with. He had read a story and he was telling me about it. This guy went for a job at a marketing firm, an agency, if you will. And one of the questions the agency asked. Now this is a guy who had been in the industry quite a while. They asked him, what's your clout score? And the guy looked back at him and said, what the hell are you talking about? And they said, well, we'll go ahead and look it up. Basically what it is, you sign in, you basically put in all the sites, your own website, your own blog account, Facebook, Twitter, every social media outlet you are a part of.
Yeah.
It queries that, sees your online...
Sorry, it queries or it queries?
Oh, well, it's in a
depends
quarry.
On what part
does it,
of
does
the,
it dig rocks
dude, honestly,
out? And...
Honestly, if we're going to start picking on my speech, we could do a whole episode.
So sorry. For this case, it does quarry
done.
It.
Yeah, it does quarry
done.
It.
It digs in deep into the...
We're digging deep into this, by the way.
Where water is held.
Quarries the shit out of it. So anyway, you're quarrying.
It queries? It will quarry?
It doesn't. No. Fuck this. We're staying wrong. It quarries your... social media or your online presence. The idea behind this is your online presence, and it gives you a score to your online presence. And the way the way it was said is they pulled it up and they didn't hire him based off this because as a marketing agency they want to know that you're out there either trying to find more work, whatever the case is, you're putting your name out there to do whatever, and that agency needed that. So it led me to believe, well, let me look at where Nerdtastic's at. Let me look at what, you know, where mine's at. It's insane, though, that this company, you know, the moral of the story to me was this company was looking for this, and they're like, well, if you're not above 50%, we don't want to talk to you.
What does that mean? Like, I don't understand. What is it? I mean, it gives
your
you a score?
No, your presence. Are you on Twitter all the time?
Your ability
do you tweet a lot?
Like, I look at my Google Reader.
No, that's
not enough.
Your
I mean, it's like
crap.
Do you post on Facebook a lot? Do you post on Twitter?
Well, it's
a
not
lot?
Only
do you post blogs.
I literally just read, but it's not only do you post, but does that get do people comment?
Exactly,
does
comment.
That get retwattered? Does that get reposted? Does that
Josh?
Get,
did you do yours?
I got a seven. To sign up for it. Or
yeah,
something.
I got
a
seven.
Sign up for it.
I got a seven.
I think I'm a.
I don't know what it's out of.
Is that true?
I don't know. I don't know what it's out of, but I feel like I'd be a 7.
Oh. You feel like you'd be a 7?
I might be a 10.
Or an R.
What's
like
R? What is the show?
Nerdtastic wasn't that high, though.
Out of what's it out of?
Like, I think 100.
You were 10s?
Maybe. And I'm on half the crap that was on there, dude.
I want to get a 0.
You would.
You
probably
should
have
delete
a zero
your
right
accounts,
now.
Though.
No, you'd probably be a 0. You never post anything on Facebook, dude.
I thought you were really low. And something beat you that you were surprisingly like...
No. I was low and just went... Because I noticed I'm on a lot of that crap, but being on there isn't enough.
Yeah.
No. I was higher than Nerdastic.
I thought you like looked at me and you're like, oh, I was only this, and this was like higher than me.
No, I said that because for a long time, and this goes out to people listening to this who are trying to get into our industry. There was a long time where I tried to be a social media whore with my name to get work.
Horse.
While I was quarrying.
Caballo.
Part of that is I wanted to be a certain number of pages in Google, specifically the first two. I wanted every single thing on the first two pages of Google when you put my name in to be me. And I was battling with a lawyer of the same name in Miami.
Jacktastic in 3D.
Jack Geckler.
If you guys go to adammcfarland.com, it's a writer who's casually.
So if you go to now here, well, here's a good test. When you go to Google, if you put your name in,
I'm the first three pages, just me.
There you go.
Oh yeah, Josh LaBravo, whatever.
Really?
Do you know his last name? I committed to it.
Adam.
The second it came out, I knew it was wrong, but I decided not to interrupt myself because I was like, whatever.
You've hung out with this man at least once a week for the last 6 months.
I know it was wrong. Like halfway through, I was like, LeBron, shit, I'm going to say Vo.
But is it blow your guys' mind that social media has hit a point where that becomes contingent on you getting a job?
I hate it.
I think LinkedIn's on there. Like all the big ones are on there.
Or it hinders you from being a job.
I hate that.
It helps you. Absolutely. Because it also, I mean, not even just the clout thing, but people will go and research your Facebook and stuff if you don't come across like you can represent the company well.
Well, I mean, let's think about this for a second. Let's say one day you actually want to run to be the president of the United States of America.
Obviously.
And then someone goes back and goes, hey, man, one time you picked on a kid on Facebook.
Totally did.
Like, now all of a sudden your entire online life is technically like, you can investigate it, right? Like someone can go look at everything that you've ever posted, right?
Well, you think like
I got two words for you. Bush Jr. Done. Anything in this world's possible.
Here's the thing though. It's like you think, you know, Jack and Jason, you guys have daughters who you've been posting and tagging. Oh no, I guess if you're not tagged, they don't have an account. You don't tag Dylan or Eloise.
Eloise does not have her own Facebook account.
No, they
but there are kids
that
will. They do.
But their presence online has started, since birth.
Yeah, and it's a bizarre thing where now these kids are going to be like, so mom, I'm looking online and I see that I have pictures since I was born. Like, I don't want that.
On a similar vein, think about the idea that kids that are being born today will never know a world without touch interfaces.
Yeah. But here's a question.
That's just cell phones.
Now, you could fuck with them right now, take all that away, and just keep giving them old tech, and they won't know any different.
Here's
a rotary phones, Jason, exactly. To start to learn on.
So
we'd be like the village.
Would a rotary phone even work these days?
Yeah. It's a good point. I think so.
What's that touch screen? We do not speak of that.
So literally,
don't tell them any different.
The tech we do not speak of.
Homeschool them, Jason, and only
just
give them old.
Keep them in a bubble.
Speaking of which, much like happened to Brendan Fraser down in his... What's the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
You are not a true fan, Jason Carter.
Where he's locked up in the basement and comes out. Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, yeah. Where he goes, maybe I could sell some of these baseball cards. And he has like Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you kidding?
I know that movie.
You're dead to me,
Blast
Jason.
Blast from the Past.
There it is.
Christopher Walken's in that film.
No, so listen to this. So I'm with my girlfriend, Angie. She just got a new Jeep Wrangler. And we're in the car driving, and literally not a touchscreen at all. The radio button, there was like this little thing that you say info to get more info on like Sirius or whatever. She literally tried to touch it and made the assumption like everything's touchscreen right now. This is probably touchscreen. And I didn't like think, well, that's a bad idea. I was like, maybe it is. So like the assumption now is like some of the things you do where you're literally like, this might be a touchscreen now.
Josh's car, I wouldn't think that his is touchscreen, and all of a sudden his is. Yeah.
And then if it's something, if you go to touch something and it's not responsive, then you're like,
that's what we did. I was like,
you're breaking your display. You're like, that's called.
Yeah, we tried to touch it. I'm like,
how hard are you touching your display?
If I wanted to work.
Fists of fury, obviously.
What's funny too is with the sinks, I had a funny story. I was in the bathroom. And I mean, I'll give it to this guy. The sensor for the stuff to all come on and everything like that was kind of off to the side. What are we talking about, Josh?
Sinks?
Like an actual bathroom sink.
I'm there, Josh.
With a faucet.
You know,
how do we get there?
Because you're not touching.
Touchless. It's touchless.
When so you the sensor yourself, in a bathroom.
Yes, the sensor in the bathroom. Those things. So, like, you know, growing up, though, you know, we didn't have that, and, you know, now we do. But with the sensors that were going on, it was by the side. Or it was, like, kind of in the front, but there's this thing that was, it looked by the side. And so the guy comes up, and he's just, like, starts waving his hands in front of it. Nothing is happening. Starts doing, like, the side motion. And, like, the soap.
I've been there. I feel for the guy.
The soap comes out. Like... And then he sits there and he's just like, nope. So he tries waving at the other one. And nothing is working for this man whatsoever. And he walks away and he's just like, damn. And then like another guy comes in and just puts his hands there and the water comes on. Gets a shit and he just starts going.
Was there kind of a race card there? Was there, you know, was the...
Then he goes over to the one to the side. He goes, oh, I just, you know, okay, clearly I could do this. Again, starts waving. Nothing happens to this guy whatsoever.
Where is this?
It was just in some random bathroom. But it was just one of those things that I just stood back and I watched.
You're telling me you've never done it and it not worked or something?
Absolutely.
And you sit there for a little while looking around going, I'm smarter than the technology.
And you
did. But the thing is, you start waving your hand. You just assume that there is a sensor somewhere around this bathroom that this water is going to fall. I swear, it's here.
Wouldn't it be great if it was on the back wall? You touch it, it comes down, and you have to run to try to get the water?
Those things piss me off.
Have you done the thing, though, like with the assumption that things are touch and things are not? You go in there, and you're like, huh? Oh, there's an actual handle. You know, you go and you put your hands there waiting for it to come
on. Wait a minute. I've got to touch something else.
Oh, I got to actually do manual labor.
I'm still going to vote on that. I hate automatic. I hate automatic paper towel dispensers. I don't want some
machine
telling me how. And then you get one where they've like rationed it where it's like 2 inches come out. And you're like, no, not cool. So you have to rip, scan again, rip, scan again. It's bull crap.
So we had somebody write in and this was like 6 weeks ago.
Oh, here we go.
So
hope you're still a fan.
We're getting to your question now. Thank you for writing in.
We've been real busy.
Yeah, that's something. So one of the people listening, sorry, I forget who you are at the moment, but wrote in and was asking us about what are our thoughts on being in this industry, working in the union versus not working in the union. And the union being, I assume, the Animation Guild.
Which is the union, yeah, here.
I don't think this was a writing question. I think this was me.
No, I...
Pretty sure someone wrote in about it.
Yeah, I think Sean's friend wrote in on this.
Well, Sean's friend, this is for you.
Hope you're still listening.
Are we just going around the room kind of thing, like our feeling?
Yeah, why don't we start with Adam?
I mean,
that was awesome.
I've thought about the Animation Union, and then I was like, I don't do animation, so
now,
Josh,
hey, No, let's go back. There are
Absolutely.
Unions for producers.
Well, the stuff we kind of come into. Cause,
sure, are you in the PGA, Producers Guild of
no,
America?
No, but I'm in the Professional Golfers Association. No, it's the Producers Guild is a weird one, but there's a lot of those unions. It's like the camera ops and the you know ASC and all those unions that are more for big movies and television and reality kind of falls in the outskirts where you don't have to be union. But there's, I mean, I've heard both sides where there's a lot of really, really good benefits where. You know, a lot of the protection you get and the insurance and the but some of the problem is you get stuck and you have to work in these union shows and you have to do so many days otherwise. So there's just some issues there. But I personally just have one day in the whatever local 605, the grip union. I've got one day. So that's my
now,
experience.
If you had the choice, I guess, if you will, would you want to be union or not union?
If I knew I had enough union work and could sustain a living, I would love to be a part of the union. I would love to have freaking health insurance and the protection and the...
Because, well, there is plus and minuses of that. Because you get all that stuff, your salary is usually lower.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, I haven't looked into a lot because for my current line of work, there's just no op. There's just...
And let's explain to people. I mean, for what you do right now, they don't supply insurance, correct?
No, I got nothing. I don't get. I'm a run a show, you know, kind of a contract employee, freelance. So it's a, you know.
And honestly, you know, not to jump the gun or to take the lead on this end, but that's one of the biggest sort of discrepancies between the animation union and the visual effects world that has no union. The visual effects world is not required to give you insurance at all.
No work is.
You tend to you tend to, you always hear people talk about being staff at these facilities when you get into visual effects, because typically when you become staff at a facility, it enables you to have a false sense of, one, that you'll have a job indefinitely, and then two, they tend to give you those medical benefits as well. But what typically ends up happening is you're much like Adam, where it's show to show, and part of that is you're not going to be insured. And their justification typically, if you really push them on the subject, is, well, we pay you above union scale to
cover your own,
buying your own insurance. Or at least that's what was told to me multiple times. Now, for me in particular, and I'm sure it's going to be the same for Josh, having worked at a bunch of visual effects studios and now working at an animation studio that has a union that actually we had no choice. You have to be part of it when you work at DreamWorks. I was more, instead of the insurance aspect, I was more fascinated with the fact of, I actually have a pension now.
That's cool.
Which is kind of surreal, because that wasn't even a thought that had crossed my mind prior to, you know, being in this industry. It was a no-brainer that I have to save my own money and whatever else, and not think about if I stay in this union 20 years, if I could stay in it, on top of what I'm going to get Social Security. Well, maybe I'll never get Social Security, but
it's a whole nother conversation.
I'll have money coming to me. Past that, which is also awesome to you guys who are in the union, if you didn't know this, is at 10 years in the union, you have medical coverage with them for the rest of your life. Wow. Meaning if you, at year 11...
Is it 10 years or 15?
I was told 10, unless they raised it, but I was told 10. You're called what's vested. And then at, you know, year 11, if you choose to leave or retire, whatever you choose to do, you are covered for the rest of your days with them.
Wow.
Is Disney Toon union?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, outside of the crazy union dues that you have to pay up front, which was pretty steep, and the dues you pay quarterly, which aren't necessarily cheap either, it hasn't been a horrible thing. I mean, the way I view it, so I don't know, Josh, Jason, you guys want to go on from there?
Want to go?
I mean, I think for me, the thing that I like about it is that it standardizes things. You know, I like a world where I know kind of sort of what to expect out of it. So I think a great example, you know, at DreamWorks is that DreamWorks in Glendale is in the union, but DreamWorks PDI,
that's a good point,
is not in the union. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I have heard from several friends that the people in LA actually make a higher wage than the people at PDI. Now, again, I don't know that for a fact, but regardless of if that's true or not, you can, by being in a union, you can guarantee that, you know, you can look at a, here's a wage survey of what people make that's done. You can look at a chart of union minimums. Like, you can kind of look and see where, what salary you're making, where that lines up with other people in the union. Like, you can actually have some reference. So you're not just flying blind. So you don't get hired by a studio at, you know, $3 an hour and think, man, this is awesome, I'm in Hollywood. You know, you can actually go, oh, wait a minute, hold on, I wouldn't take that job because that job might really suck because it's so much lower than the union or whatever, even if it is a, you know, union shop. But it's an interesting thing to keep things consistent, keep things semi on the same page for everyone. Of course, there are differences. You know, you if you do a really good job, you can negotiate to be at different rates and stuff, even though you're in the union. But for me, it's definitely a positive thing. And
No negatives for you?
I mean, I agree with you in the sense that when you're starting out paying, you know, the fee, it's, you know, a couple grand or whatever it is to enter the unions. That's not easy, especially when you're starting out. And in moving to Los Angeles, which is an incredibly expensive city, to have to shell out a couple grand to join a union is a tough pill to swallow.
It's based on your salary. Is how they do it.
And it is not a request. I want to point that out again, that I found just fascinating. It is, you have to...
You want this job?
You're employed there?
Yeah.
You have to be part of the union. And was it you, Josh? Or who recently was talking about, David or somebody was saying that they had gone so long not paying or trying to not pay. I think it's a guy I work with who just moved down from PDI to DreamWorks here, and now he has to be part of the union. It was explained that if he did not pay his next dues or his
that was issue, me.
Where they were going to start taking your check.
They weren't going to take my check.
Or not going to give you your check.
They wouldn't give me my check because technically then I wouldn't be an employee.
Now, also, wow. also,
yeah, there's no joking around.
The company, so DreamWorks, for example, that hires union employees, DreamWorks can get fined majorly, majorly, like big bucks
for hiring
if they're exactly if they're hiring non-union people. So by being a union shop, you agree that you will only hire union workers. It's very, very similar.
I was just lazy and I didn't want to pay it.
It's very, very similar to, in Hollywood, a SAG movie versus not a SAG movie. So it's, are you, we will only hire actors from the Screen Actors Guild
or we will not. If it's, if it's a SAG movie.
So, you know, it's not like you can hire Brad Pitt and then hire a whole bunch of, like, extras that aren't a member of SAG. You can get fined big bucks for that. So, yeah. So anyways, I think the union is a very, very positive thing. I think while there are negatives, in my experience, they definitely, the positives, positives far outweigh them. Josh?
I've had, you know, no real complaints or problems with the union. I mean, I, you know, being, like you said, Jack, non-union studios and then union studios. I think, Jason, you've only been union, right?
Correct.
The whole time? Yeah.
Yep.
I've been at studios where, I mean, they're non-union, but they offered, you know, healthcare. You know, like when I was
Sony gave us healthcare.
Sony was like that, 2K Sports, you know, they hooked me up with, granted it was an HMO, but it was a freaking fantastic one. It was, I mean, it was amazing. Like surgery was $5, wow. You know, it's like this crazy, you know, state-of-the-art facility up there in Marin in San Rafael. And when you don't have that, you kind of get a little nervous, you know, like, you know, I ended up starting to, you know, pay for my own when I wasn't, you know, when I was just freelancing and, you know, you have that. And, but even besides that, like you were saying too, Jack, you know, the pension, I didn't even realize I had like money in the pension, you know, cause when I was working at Warner Brothers, like Warner Brothers was my first union studio and I was just like, okay. And I didn't have enough time to be there to where like the dues were, you know, actually creeping up on me where my project ended. I was there, I think like 4 months or something like that. And by that time when the union kicked in, because you have to be at least 2 months into a job, I think it is, before you can even, or so many hours, I think it's like 200 hours or something like that.
It's the same as the grips or anything. You have to have a certain number of days on the job.
The weird thing about it, though, is it's like, and this is with the kind of the unions on the live action stuff, is, so I think it's something like 35 days for, let's say, like, whatever it is, local 605, but you're not, they're not legally allowed to hire non-union people, but... So what the way it works is you have to have, like, let's say I'm going as a grip. You have to have, like, the key grip needs to know and vouch for you, because if you come on and fuck something up and they find out you're non-union, the whole thing can get in trouble. And
so it's this... The way I was... The guy I lived with when I moved out here, the couch I was on, this guy Danny, he's now union. He's a grip, a lighter, all this. But when I moved out, that was the big thing. They can't, it's this weird, I didn't get it. It was this catch 22. He's like, oh, I'm like, why don't you just go union? He goes, well, I don't have the hours. I'm like, okay, then why don't you get that?
Because I'm not union.
Because I can't get on. The union shows, if they're established union to start with, they can't hire you.
Yeah.
So the goal, so the way he explained
it, like flips?
You get on a show that flips. And what the flip means is anything, and now, Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, at the time, because he was doing a lot of TV as well, was when the budget of the show hit $1 million, there was a dollar amount.
Yeah.
When the dollar amount hit a certain amount in a TV show or film, it's what's called flips, and then it flips to a union show. If you're part of that crew, you automatically get part of that, and you can start using those hours.
There's a caveat there, too, though, that a show can flip, and they can get rid of everybody and bring in existing. There's a pros and cons to it, and there's different ways show to flip.
Because, like, that's how he got his eventually. Was enough projects he was on flipped.
Yeah, you just have to be good enough that they don't want to fucking let you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a weird, and it's a hard door to get in. But when you're in, you're kind of in. But
and,
like,
and for them, it's even more important because you get on a list.
Yeah,
it's different than our industry. Like for them, they actually get on a list. And when those films come on, and it's really for big budget films, they have to pull from that list.
No, when I was at Warner Brothers, my VFX supervisor gave me a list, and he's just like, ugh, it kind of sucks working here because we have to go through this list first.
Yeah, that's how it was.
He gave me the list, and he goes, do you see anybody on this name that you recognize that you can say is good? And I looked through it, and I was just like, I have no idea who the hell any of these people are. You know, and he's just like, okay.
So I think the other nice thing about the union is what happens. So for anybody who's not super familiar with this industry, it's very volatile. Very, very volatile. I think, you know, Adam, I think your story is probably more of the norm where you kind of have a job through a run of a show and then that show ends and then it may or may not get picked up the next year. You may or may not have a spot the next year, the next season. I think the studios where, you know, Josh, Jack, you and I work is a little bit more on the rare side. So it's a very volatile industry. So that to say, if you are in a place where imagine you may have 8 months of work or 9 months of work during a year, what happens to your benefits during that downtime? So if you've earned enough hours and you're in a union shop,
are you asking that because you don't know or
no? Well, I mean, you can answer it if you know the answer. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a I think it's a calendar year kind of thing where it's like you have to have whatever. Let's just say arbitrarily to be in the DGA because I was talking to my director about this. You have to have 60 hours on DGA projects throughout the year.
Right.
So you bang them out first 2 months. You literally don't have to do anything for the next 10.
And you've got your health care.
And you've got your health care. And literally you could go the next 10 months of the following
same
year.
With ours.
And as long as you get them in before the end of the next calendar year, you're still good. But if you lapse and don't get your time on the DGA projects, so which is showing your involvement in the union and kind of one of our Top Gear in particular, because we are non-union, we don't ever have, you know, you don't have directors. They're all producers because directors can't work on non-union, but you can work on it as a producer.
Interesting.
So there's kind of those title-y things.
Like crossovers, like it's a hybrid role.
Yeah, he's a producer on our show.
If you're in the DGA, you can't have two directors.
Right.
On a show.
Now,
right.
Is that or on very, a movie, I'm now, sorry. Is that very, is that, so that's why you see a lot of like, you know, on our films or whatever, Guillermo del Toro producing.
Yep.
Or whoever producing. Even well, he though, is you like know they're a consultant. Director.
Yeah, he is a director. But I mean, they are using that. But I mean, say, what's his name? Robert Rodriguez, who did like Sin City and Grindhouse and those types of movies and stuff. When he did the Frank Miller, you know, thing with Sin City, they couldn't be part of the Directors Guild thing because, you know, they were both considered directors. That's why, you know, his studio is named Troublemaker.
Mm. Interesting.
Because they go against it.
So this happens, I think, a lot in acting. So you see a lot of actors that are a member of the Screen Actors Guild. And say that they haven't worked in a little while. You know, say they were an actor on a television series and they had a decent role. And so they have a decent name. People recognize them. And then they haven't worked for a while. And now all of a sudden their benefits may potentially start to lapse because they're out of hours. What you may see is that they actually try and pick up a bit role on The Office. Or they pick up... So you actually... You see these moments
see,
in a television...
I'm confused, though, at that point. My understanding of that was, is if you... For SAG, if you pay... If you continue to pay your dues once you're in...
I don't know how SAG works.
You technically are, you're technically still in SAG. If you can keep paying your dues, you're technically still in.
No.
I believe it's the
it's still
same
hour
thing.
Based?
As, yeah, same thing as every
it's
other.
Because I thought that was the big, in my understanding, that was the big deal when they, the last huge strike they had is it was obvious that the people who were pushing the strike were the not Will Smiths. It were the people in SAG who were out of work and whatever else, not, you know, not making money on shows and everything else. And, were the people who were just paying dues who were part of SAG. I didn't realize that they still had to put in a certain number of hours.
Yeah, so basically, if you ever watch a television series and you see some, oh, hey, it's that guy who was really big once or on that one show and he's taken a bit role or like he's a bad guy in this episode of this, there's a very, very good reason could just be that he needed to make sure his benefits didn't lapse. So he picks up some gig, gets enough hours, and bam, I'm back in it for two more years kind of a thing. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but if you ever see somebody pop in somewhere that you haven't seen forever, like let's say Chevy Chase in Community, maybe there's a very, very good reason why.
He's on a little more than a bit part, though.
On that note.
Yeah, before you kill it, uh-huh. I at the end of the day, the biggest thing to me that I think it is the insurance.
Right.
So listening, if you're thinking about this, I mean, that's what it comes down to. If insurance is huge to you and you know you need it and you have a family, that's the other big thing.
Yeah.
You probably want to target one of the studios in LA that's part of the union, which it's mostly just animation. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's any visual effects houses besides, oh, I take that back, ILM is part of the union. That's the only one I can think of.
And not
there's
every...
tons. I actually asked that earlier, like last week when Kevin from our union, Kevin, what's his name? Oh, not Kevin.
Steve.
Thank you. Steve, the union rep, came by and I asked him how many studios. He goes, generic, oh, we got this. And he just started naming
visual
off,
effects like, studios?
Any studio. I mean, he was going off on just so many studios that you just don't even know.
A ton of animated studios that are. But
although not some of the big ones. I was very surprised by
that's,
that.
That's the, and that, obviously, that's... And we could do this in a different show because that's the big debate right now that a guild society I'm part of, which is the VES, is trying to potentially push the visual effects industry into doing a union. Which I think would be separate than the animation guild. That's sort of what I'm hearing right now. But
called the VIE.
The
Visual Effects Union.
I don't think the studios want it, though.
Of course the studio doesn't want it. It's horrible for a studio, but it's wonderful for the employees. Yeah. I think it's time we said goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
Turning into a pumpkin.
Goodbye, sweet friends.
Bye. I was about to do the Sound of Music.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was doing Bear in the Big Blue House.
Bye,
wow.
Bye, Miss bye. American Pie. Maybe Vader someday later. Now he's just a Jedi. I'm seeing the Weird Al version.
You are.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Nerdtastic in 3D, episode number 25. My name is Jason Carter.
I'm Jack Eckler.
I'm Josh DeBrot.
Adam McFarlane.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week with some spectacular... Oh, wait.
With video.
Wait. We forgot something.
What did we forget?
Challenge.
The weekly challenge. First of all, Josh, quickly recap us on the last week's weekly challenge.
What was I? Don't remember now. Shit, what was it?
Oh, yes, and I got to give him a shout out real fast because he did this to me in a game the other day. The weekly challenge.
Oh, that's right.
I got to do this real fast before we do it. Our friend Justin, he goes by Insane. We're playing a game the other. This is last week. Justin, you're such a bastard. We're playing a map, and I'm capping the B flag, and I'm sitting in a corner. It's on resistance, that Paris French map, Josh.
Yeah.
And I'm in a corner. He comes up and stands in front of me in the corner and won't let me out. And I start laughing, and I'm like, "Why? What are you doing, dude?" I'm like, "You get out of my way. You can't block it." He starts laughing. I'm like, "What the hell's wrong?" He goes, "Challenge complete." I go, "What are you talking about?" I go, "Oh shit, you bastard." He starts jumping up and down in front of me and I can't get out. I go, "Oh, you suck." And then Magnus proceeded to do that to him later on. Dude, I lost it. But they remembered and they listened. You guys kill it, dude, and thank you for that moment. That
so
was amazing.
So did any one of you actually I'm
I probably
give you
did
credit.
It inadvertently.
I'm gonna give you credit. I think you did it just by always aiming at my turret in the game last
I'll
night.
Do that.
That was pretty good.
I left last night. Did that do it? That pissed us all off. Thank
Boom!
You. Challenge accepted.
So, Josh, well done on the challenge. And guess who gets it this week?
Yay!
Okay. Adam McFarlane.
Adam, give us the weekly challenge.
Shit burgers.
I gave you a heads up of at least 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know, but I was busy thinking about how
fly.
I completed the challenge before.
So, the weekly challenge this week is going to be something great.
Clearly, it's amazing.
Go to Taco Bell
and try the Doritos taco.
Try something you've never ordered at Taco Bell ever.
Okay, fair
That's
enough.
That's actually a good one.
Because I always order the same fucking thing.
So do I.
Every time I go.
Fair enough.
Taco Bell.
That's good.
Something new.
I like
if
it.
You haven't had it yet, cheesy gordita crunch.
Also, don't do breakfast.
If you live in
whatever you do, don't do breakfast. It's not being
worth it. It's not
worth it. Honestly, it's not worth it.
If there's anyone who doesn't live anywhere close to a Taco Bell,
you tough shit.
Find a Taco Bell.
Drive to a Taco Bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Nerdtastic in 3D, episode number 25. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you later.
Bye.
So- Nerdtastic.